We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The New England Patriots beat the Tennessee Titans yesterday at Gillette Stadium. We're talking about it with you at 617-779-7937. Gresham Kiefer with you into the lunchtime hour. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline on this Patriots Monday, it is offensive lineman Shaq Mason. Big Shaq is brought to us by Zuti. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. By Falmouth Lumber, your Anderson window dealers. And by Boston Beer, Truly Hard Seltzer. A truly hard football game yesterday, Shaq Mason. Congratulations on the win. You guys were able to grind it out against at least a head coach that knows you guys pretty well.
Right, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So let's talk a little bit about the offensive performance. The run game was a little slow, but you guys did a great job of protecting Mac Jones yesterday, who has yet another consistent performance. How did you see in totality the way things went offensively yesterday, Shaq?
I would say, as you said, the run game started off slow at first. And, we had to, pass the ball around a little bit. And, that's part of playing football, One thing's not going to go to another. And, that's a testament to the whole offense just adjusting and, playing with what they gave us.
How big of a test was that Tennessee front? Because it seemed like a real physical game, especially early, but even throughout.
Definitely was a good front. Hats off to those guys. They came out and they played hard, and we had a fun time competing with them for four quarters.
I know that Thursday you played that game against the Falcons and then had a little bit of extra time to get ready for the Tennessee game. Shaq, how important was that little bit of extra time? I know the bye is looming and the schedule's moving around a little bit. You got a Saturday night game coming up. You got a Monday night game. But, I mean, did you feel significantly better going into this game just because of a couple extra days of rest?
The couple extra days definitely helped. But as far as just, full recovery, I don't think you get that until off season hits. So, I mean, it's a grind throughout the whole season. So, you know what you're in for when season jumps off. And, as I say, you just build it one day at a time.
How are you feeling as a group right now on the offensive line? Because there were so many injuries at the beginning of the season, so many different variations of the personnel, and now it seems like you guys have really kind of settled into the five who are on the field, and it's certainly looking like you guys are real comfortable.
Right, definitely are a comfortable bunch, confident bunch, and as many good things as we do, there's still plenty that we can do a lot better, and I mean that goes to working day in and day out, practicing, improving, and just taking it one day at a time.
Shaq, I know the Buffalo Bills are next. That's on Monday night, so you get an extra day of preparation. What do you remember about playing the Bills? Because we just got done talking to Lawrence Guy, and he said, hey, there's a lot of carryover. You can kind of pick up almost where you left off, learn the new personnel, bingo bango. But what is it like for you on the offensive side preparing for a team you see twice a year?
I say the same thing. We know that bunch pretty well, and we know what they bring as far as their mentality and physicality. So it's a division opponent, and we know what we're in for. And, it's going to be an electric night, Monday Night Football. division game on the road. So, I mean, all the juices will be flowing that game for sure.
What's the craziest thing you've seen in Buffalo? Maybe on your way to the stadium or even inside the stadium?
I'll always say that the ride to the stadium is always memorable. I'm always seeing what I can see new each time I go to that stadium, because it's always a different sight to see with the Bills fans.
I had a player once tell me, Shaq, that riding into that stadium in Buffalo, they were mooned by an 80-year-old woman. Have you seen old lady ass on your ride into the stadium?
I can't say I have seen that, but I'm very confident that's a true story for sure.
Now, is it you and the linemen that are kind of like looking around for this stuff? Like, is this one of those unique environments where you've got to keep not the head on the swivel because you're in danger, but the head on the swivel because you don't know if somebody's going to get, you know, power bombed through a flaming table?
Right. I think that's the mentality of the whole team when you pull into that space, because you never know what you're going to see.
I think it was your second year on the team where a fan threw what we have to say on the radio, a marital aid.
A phallic object.
Yes, onto the field. That had to be a new one.
Yeah, that was my second year here, but that was definitely a first for me.
Yeah.
Especially, the last thing I'd expect to see while playing football, but, right. You know.
Shaq, please tell us that when that happened, Bill Belichick used that film in front of the team and circled it and pointed out that made the field.
I can't remember, but I know everybody knew about it for sure.
There we go. Well, Shaq Mason and the O-line getting ready to take on the Buffalo Bills, and of course celebrating a win over the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Thank you, Shaq. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Good luck on Monday night.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Shaq.
There we go. Yeah, I've had multiple people tell me
a wild scene up there.
Riding in on the team bus in Buffalo, you see some things.
Hey, I just got mooned by an old lady.
Now, Monday night, too, in Buffalo is just going to be insane.
People.
And they feel like the division's up for grabs right now. Let's face it. It is two games left. It could be determined right here. So they are going to be in even rarer form than they normally are.
What's awesome is that batch of jackass fans, Bills Mafia, they're going to be so worked up because the Patriots haven't even played them yet, and the Pats will be in their head.
Of course they are. They'll always be there.
They live with such Tom Brady, Bill Belichick PTSD on the football field.
Can you blame them?
No.
It's been 20 years of just getting smashed around. You had a glimmer of hope in the Lawyer Malloy game and then just disappeared again.
I wonder if peak Red Sox fandom 2003, 2004, oh my God, what will go wrong will go wrong.
Is that what the Bills are going
through? Is what those Bills fans are feeling. But there's a difference between 86 years.
I don't know, but they were really confident last year.
Oh, yeah.
They all of a sudden were like, oh, we're the best thing going. And then, no, you're not. And then it felt like, even here in New England as a Patriots fan, it felt like, yeah, the Bills are probably going to run this division for about 5 years. How about one? How about looks like one? I mean, they got to be freaking out. And oh, by the way, we've made it the whole show so far, because obviously we've been talking about the Titans, but Tre'Davious White out for the season.
Yep,
I mean that is
big deal,
a massive loss for the Bills. That guy's that's a really really good corner, and it just seems like the Patriots every week have faced a team now with 1, 2, 3 stud players being out. Some out for the season, some just happen to be out for that week or two. And, man, it has been a brutal year for a lot of these injuries.
It's a part of the ride, and that's why you got to build your roster correctly, and that's why Bill Belichick is getting a ton of credit for the way he has built this Patriots team. So, folks, are you allowing yourself to start to think Super Bowl? 617-779-7937, because it was a hell of a day yesterday.
Jones has time. Deep shot, Jones! It's hauled in! Jacoby Myers with the grab. This time it's Foreman. He's got a hold. Deontay Foreman, using his speed, fumbles the football at the end of the play and recovered by Jalen Mills. Bourne redirects to the outside. Still going. Kendrick Bourne breaks away. Touchdown, Patriots. It was a Bourne ultimatum pass. Runs into Trent Brown and keeps going for the touchdown.
Yeah! 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 Yeah!
Well, there we go.
Was that Ian Eagle who swore?
That was on the HBO call of the game where you can work blue a little bit.
That was a good day.
Some of the sounds of yesterday where the Patriots get the job done kind of in a fashion that we thought. You know, we knew Tennessee was going to be undermanned. And it's fascinating to me that we look at, yes, the Titans were wounded animals coming in.
Big time.
However, our expectations, or at least I guess you would say game to game, the expectations, when you think about where it was 6 weeks ago compared to now, and that we're almost flippantly being like, well, of course they were going to beat the Titans at home. Whereas 6 weeks ago, I don't know how many people in Patriot Nation would have felt it, which is why the question comes up today. Are you, as a fan, starting to allow yourself to think that this team could get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I do. And I've been on this for a couple of weeks, Gresham. I know we've disagreed on it. And when we were reassessing a couple of weeks ago, can Team X win the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Yes or no? And we're going through the whole league. And I'm a yes on the Patriots. And it has probably as much to do with them and the way that they're playing as it does the rest of the league. Like, that's my biggest takeaway. And, you know, sitting around the last couple of weekends and just watching all these teams play, you know, watching three games on Thanksgiving, watching as much as you can last night, watching the Sunday nighter with two AFC teams, you're like, man, the Patriots, although not perfect, are the best team in the AFC. Everybody has a flaw, and I don't know what the fatal flaw would be, though, for the Patriots. Are they elite at everything? Of course not. But that's also the state of the season this year in the NFL. And you know what? Maybe the Titans are better than the Patriots if they had Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. Well, guess who's not coming back? Derrick Henry. So it doesn't really matter. If you want to put a pin in it and ask the question again next year, so be it. But he's not there. The Ravens have a bunch of guys who are hurt, a bunch of them who aren't coming back. The Bills, to me, aren't a super physical team, and they give up the run. They can't run, all that. So the Patriots right now, six straight wins, are rolling. And they have playmakers on both sides of the ball, which I think was a question kind of going in. Like, mm-hmm. They have playmakers on offense, and it feels like they do, at least enough. And they're always going to have the advantage at head coach. And in a year where a bunch of teams are going to be kind of lumped together, that head coach advantage could be the major difference.
And in the AFC is where you have the heavyweights in terms of coaching. In the NFC, the quarterbacks, at least two of them, maybe three, are the heavyweights in terms of Rodgers, Brady, and then it depends on how you feel about maybe Dak Prescott or Matthew Stafford. Oh, by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers are the sixth seed. I know people around here don't love Jimmy G. He did lead a team to a Super Bowl, so that is at least something in terms of the quarterbacks.
Right.
Whereas you got one heavy hitter in the AFC, and that is Mahomes, and that's kind of up and down a little bit based on the way they played.
Oh, it's all young quarterbacks in the AFC, or at least the current playoff teams. It is young guys, but you got some Super
great
Bowl ring coaches. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, obviously, you have Belichick, you have Harbaugh. We all have a ton of respect for Mike Vrabel. We did a lot of talk on NFL Sunday about Vrabel maybe eventually being the guy that could replace Belichick here. Because he's got
all
those qualities and characteristics.
I would, but if he's turns Tennessee into a consistent wagon, I don't know why they would let him go.
Well,
like they would just
you know
throw
what I
all
said?
The money at him.
He gets to run the organization.
Yeah, I guess. But if you're in Tennessee, you might even want to make a decision on.
Well, it might come down
that.
To that's what it takes. And then, you know, of course, you still have the other coaches as well, like Sean McDermott. Maybe the jury is still out. We don't know much about Brandon Staley. We don't know anything about really Zach Taylor at all at this point.
Right.
When it comes to the postseason. So it is interesting that one conference might be more about the quarterback play, and the other conference might be more about which coach finds a way to be able to get their team through the AFC.
And I think when you're looking at the AFC right now, going into the year, you would have said Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Ryan Tannehill might be the four best quarterbacks. Actually, Herbert might be the best quarterbacks. And all those guys, to a certain degree, have hit a little bit of a bump in the road, right? Like, they haven't been perfect start to finish, which allows Mac Jones, Joe Burrow, some of these other guys on a team to sort of play up. Hell, even Carson Wentz, to make it where each night the quarterback battle, or once we get to the playoffs, the quarterback matchup won't really be lopsided one way or the other. And even though, again, I think Patrick Mahomes is a lot better than Mac Jones, the way the Patriots' defense is played, they're probably going to, you know, make Patrick Mahomes look foolish. They're probably going to turn him over a couple of times, and then that way it could be more of a fair fight.
Carson Wentz, 6-6 football team, 62.8% completion percentage, only 2,790 yards, 21 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
That's pretty good. And he had 2 of them yesterday, right?
And what's really funny is a lot of America will look at those numbers with Carson Wentz and say, wow, that's pretty good. But Mac Jones is insert excuse here as to why he isn't good. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Jonathan in New Hampshire with Gresham Keefe. Hello, John.
Hi, good morning. I woke up with a nervous sweat. I'm going to run something by you as to how I see the seedings playing out in the AFC.
Well, did you hose off before you called?
Huh? What?
Did you shower before you called at least?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
All right. Good.
This is going to make you cringe a little bit, and I'm a big Patriots fan. Right. Assuming that New England and Buffalo split, and assuming that Buffalo beats the Jets down the road, which is, I think both of the things are reality. The teams could both finish with the same record, and Buffalo would get the nod because they finished 5-1 in the division and the Patriots 4-2, meaning the Patriots conceivably at the end of the year could have the second best record in the entire conference and go in as a wild card, which means that Miami game that they fumbled away at the end could be the killer in them finishing with a top 2 seed.
I don't want to go down that road because I swore today I was not going to bring up that Miami game because the Patriots would be the number 1 seed and they won that and they only would have lost NFC teams. But
so, first of all, you don't need to wake up in a cold sweat week 12 thinking about what it's going to be like 6 weeks from now. I don't think it's necessary. He also said, let's assume they split. I don't know why you have to assume that. Why can't the Patriots win both times?
SoFi Stadium, here we come.
Also, so they both have 4 losses right now.
Yep.
The Bills also play Tom Brady and the Bucks in Tampa. Is that a win?
That's a problem.
That's a problem. That's a tough game. So even if, okay, let's say they do split. Are they both winning out? I feel like the Bills might lose that game in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then if that's the case and it's one and it's one like that, then I don't know. If I'm the Bills, like I wouldn't worry about home field advantage right now would be my point.
I think for the Bills, it's we got to find a way to get the division lead back. That's the biggest. I mean, and again, even when we talked about this last week with the whole Tennessee-Buffalo sort of 2 games coming up before the bye, that it was here's a 2-game season.
Right.
Go win these two, then see where you're at. That's almost a little bit of the maybe paralysis of analysis in terms of what could happen because I do feel this very strongly. Even if the Patriots split with Buffalo, which is not inconceivable, I think they're winning the rest. Miami's good.
I think Colts are tough. I think Colts are really, really tough.
I don't
disagree. Think they can stop Jonathan Taylor.
But I do think they end up winning that game, and then it's Jacksonville. And if they lose to Jacksonville, then they deserve whatever they get. If they're the 7th seed and you lose to Jacksonville, that's on you.
Jacksonville's an excuse.
Well, I stayed to see the grandkids.
Miami's turning things around, though, a little bit. They are to beat you.
And you do have to go there, so that is a problem, but it's Miami.
But if they split and they go, they would finish the year 12-5. And the caller is saying that they would have the second best record in the conference and miss. Like, I don't know. They may not have the second best record in the conference.
Well, that's the other thing, too.
You have all these 4 lost teams. The Ravens only lost 3 games. Tennessee has 4 losses right now, but they have a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way. So, I don't know. There's still so much to be determined. I would enjoy the current ride that they're on.
At least Pittsburgh and their tie are in 11th in the AFC, and hopefully we don't have to worry about that tie as part of the tiebreaker.
If you can't beat the Lions in 60 minutes, you should not be eligible for the playoffs. It's pretty straightforward. So, okay, we didn't lose to them. Yeah, you tied them.
It's a new NFL rule.
You tied Detroit. We all saw Detroit on Thanksgiving. That's a hard watch, and you should not ever tie the Lions.
Can I just make a 1-year suggestion to the NFL because they're all about their 1-year trials?
Have the Lions not play Thanksgiving?
Thank you.
Yes, pretty easy.
Not hard. I mean,
I saw all the memes going around. John would love this. The Bernie Sanders and his jacket meme saying, I am once again asking you to take the Lions off Thanksgiving football.
I am once again asking for your financial support.
Yes.
Do we start a GoFundMe to get the Lions off of Thursday? Who would you want instead? Who would be the team that would play every Thanksgiving? Because the Cowboys, let's face it, the Cowboys, everybody watches that game. That's an institution. They're good more years than they're bad, so they can have that.
So Cowboys are locked, and then you have your rotational game.
So the primetime game can be whatever, but who should play 12:30 Thanksgiving?
The Saints. Honestly, I was thinking the same thing. Saints-Falcons sneaky turned into a bit of a thing a few years in a row on Thanksgiving. There was like 3 out of 6 years they had Falcons-Saints on Thanksgiving, and it was awesome.
I think the Saints have a low-key, a very big fan base that people don't quite realize.
Well, they're all walking around with bags on their heads, so it's hard
to
tell.
I was going to say stay in the division and go Packers, and it allows you to have a little bit of a weather game because I don't like the two dome games as your Thanksgiving doubleheader.
Three dome games would be bad.
Because there's a chance that you can get maybe a little flurry, maybe a little weather mixed in. I think Green Bay would be better.
Okay, what about Seattle? They've had some classic Thursday games.
Yeah, but if they play at 12:30, Chef, it's 9:30
Well, that's, West Coast. They'd have to be a later game.
That'd be tough. You need an East or at worst, a Central.
Well, I was going to go Pittsburgh only because you think of the traditionals. Like that, Lions are on Thanksgiving, definitely. But if you think of the three or four brands, let's say
Steelers is a good one.
You have the Cowboys, you have the Raiders, you have the Steelers. Those are the ones that jump out.
Yeah, get rid of the NFC North matchups. Move it or AFC North wouldn't kill you.
Yeah, move it around a little bit.
AFC North always a great division.
Pittsburgh, Cleveland have something like that.
And if you were watching college football on Friday and Saturday, the snow that was falling in the state of Michigan for Ohio State, Michigan, and then Michigan State game. Oh, it was
awesome.
Awesome.
We don't need a dome Lions team that stinks. And at least for years you had the Barry Sanders. Like, at least you get to sit and watch Barry Sanders. Or at least you get to watch Calvin Johnson. Now there's just nothing there.
I'll tell you one team that does not need to be on Thanksgiving. That's the Patriots.
Yeah, no. I like keep my holidays open.
I am with you on that. I don't want to go through that one again. Uh-huh. It was a couple years ago.
They also had a Christmas Eve game, remember that one year?
Wasn't that against the Bills too?
Yeah, I think it was.
Was it Bills or Jets?
They played the Jaguars one year on a Christmas Eve in like 07 or 08, and I know because there was a player from my hometown who was on the Jaguars, and there's a whole big deal in the local media about him shaking
Tom Brady's
hands.
Oh, I got you. Okay. All right, fair enough. I mean, everybody's got to find their – hey, listen, everybody needs copy and ratings during the holiday months, so I guess that's a way to get it. But, yes, regardless of who goes in there, can we just have a one-year trial without the Lions?
That'd be great.
It'd be awesome.
I think America would respond. I think
honestly, we should just relegate the Lions altogether. Find a new team.
Alabama.
Yeah, please. I'd be fine with that.
An SEC All-Star team.
Yes.
There you go. They would. Now, that is funny because my kid.
Tuscaloosa?
Because my kid was like, if the worst NFL team played Alabama, I'm like, Alabama gets smoked. I said, now, if you really want something, put together the first and second team SEC, all SEC teams.
Yeah.
Put those teams together, turn them into a pro team, have them decently coached and put them in the NFL. They would compete.
I was always of the, I'm with you, the pro team would smash the college
team.
I was always with you. However, watching Mac Jones, Jalen Waddle, Christian Barmore, Devontae Smith, Najee Harris. Those are six of the best rookies this year. Mm-hmm. So they would probably still lose. However.
But they'd compete.
They're playing so well this year that you're like, I don't know, man. Like, it might be a little bit closer.
And those Joe Burrow LSU teams, like that team could compete too.
I still maintain it was the 0-1 or 0-2 Miami Hurricanes team where you just look at
0-2.
It and they were three deep on every spot except for quarterback, all went pro and were all nasty. It was like Ed Reed, Sean Taylor, Vince Wilfork. They had like four running backs that all went pro. They had like four tight ends that went pro.
They killed Andre Nebraska Johnson. In the Rose Bowl, I think, right?
Yes.
And in fact, they who was that? Oh, who was the ragtag quarterback that year?
Ken Dorsey, every year.
Who was a pro.
Yeah,
but not even a great one.
No, he was a backup, but still, like that was the only position they were kind of lacking.
We will get to what happened coming up, but he's a great pro. His name is Shime. He's ready to trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here we go. It is week 12 in the NFL. Time to tell you what happened. Of course, a little bit of a light slate because there was 3 games on Thanksgiving. 2 teams had the bye.
Yep.
Of course, Monday Night Football is a tradition as old as the Rose Bowl. So there's always Monday Night Football.
2 Thanksgiving games. Very bad.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
2 of them were bad.
The penalties in that Cowboys-Raiders game, that was a hard watch.
285 total penalty yards between both teams.
And then the winless Lions, and then the Bills, that was just a blowout at night. So really, you had the 2 games were close, but really they were all bad. So let's find out what happened yesterday as it relates to the New England Patriots in and around the AFC. Former Patriots quarterback Tom Brady may have his hand once again in the AFC playoff race as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were taking on the Indianapolis Colts.
What happened?
Well, the Colts are up 10 at the half, but you cut to under 30 seconds to go. Tie game, Tampa Bay driving, and they hand the ball off to Lenny.
Aaron Leftwich. This has got to have it play.
Jumbo formation. They will run it in a big hole. Who needs a field goal? Fournette goes for the end zone, and he's in! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! His 4th.
How about 4 touchdowns for Leonard Fournette? Here's Tom Brady talking about Lenny.
Oh, he had a great game. Leonard played great in the run game and the pass game. Rowe ran the ball really well. Big guys blocked great up front. Thought we did a good job in the run game with, you know, getting the hats on hats, and the guys really ran the ball hard. It was a very physical game, so it's a good, very good defensive front, great group of linebackers.
And on it goes. Hats on hats. Hats on hats. So the Tampa Bay Bucs are now 8-3. The Indianapolis Colts, who I still think are pesky, fall to 6-6. So that's a tough one for the Colts because everybody has that extra game with the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Patriots – they, like everybody else in their division, played everybody in the NFC South, right? So that's the Bills, and then they played the Patriots. One off was the Cowboys. The Colts one off is the Bucks. That's not fair. That kind of blows.
By the way, Indianapolis now 10th in the AFC at 6-6 in terms of the AFC playoff order.
And in the mix, of course, has that Saturday game coming up with the Patriots 2 weeks from now. All right, from one former Patriots quarterback to another. Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers against the Miami Dolphins.
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, not a great Cam day.
The Dolphin defense with Newton in his own end zone throwing and intercepted again. A takeaway from the 25-yard line and running it back is Xavier Howard.
Cam Newton, 5 of 21, passing the football, a couple of interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 5.8.
Yeah, even I can't defend that, Keith.
I'm back! The memes going around yesterday were pretty good.
It was awesome.
Cam Newton got benched for P.J. Walker as the Dolphins beat the Panthers 33-10.
P.J. Walker.
Both Carolina and Miami are 5-7, but Miami has won 4 in a row. I'm back.
Miami's getting a little hot, and apparently there are rumblings in Carolina that the new owner, David Tepper, needs to fire his recently hired head coach, Matt Rhule, because he caved in, played Cam, and yesterday was a disaster.
You know what? They could use a quarterback.
What if they could have drafted Mac Jones somewhere along the way?
He was available. So what do you think about this streak that the Dolphins were on? Tua, by the way, Tua Tagovailoa, 27 of 31 for 230 yards and a touchdown in the victory. And they're winning some games. To me, it's a little too late. But does it give them pause in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes?
I don't think so.
I agree. Watson's so much better than Tua, but they're winning some games. Their schedule's pretty easy down the stretch, too.
I was just pulling it up. They got the Giants, bye week, Jets, Saints, Titans, Patriots.
All right, so tough ones up there at the end, but they can win a couple more games.
If they get to 7-7 and get on a streak, who knows?
All right, speaking of just crappy teams, let's go. Staying in the division here, Jets and Texans. Well, somebody had to win this game. God.
Wilson, a little RPO action, keeps it himself, lunges, touchdown. What an effort by Wilson as the Jets capitalize on the two big defensive penalties against Houston.
Jets beat the Texans 21-14, New York 3-8 in the return of Zach Wilson, who also had an incredible play where he threw an interception off of a teammate's back. He ran up towards the line of scrimmage, tried to shovel pass off his running back, hit his running back in the back because he wasn't looking at him, and then it was picked off by the Texans. But even that couldn't lead to a Texans win. So New York 3-8, Texans 2-9.
The Jets right now slide to what would be the number 5 pick in the upcoming NFL draft.
Not too bad. All right, we have a big one in the AFC North between the Bengals and the Steelers.
What happened?
This one was all Bengals.
Roethlisberger with the time. That's intercepted. Here goes a terrific Hilton pick, and that is 6. A pick 6 thrown by Ben Roethlisberger to his former teammate, Mike Hilton.
Cincinnati with a blowout win over the Steelers, 41-10. Cincinnati now 7-4. The Steelers fall to 5-5-1. Joe Mixon, 165 yards rushing,
great
and 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
He was awesome.
Great game. And teams are starting to get hip to Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep.
I think he only had like 2 catches for 23 yards. And Cincinnati still blew doors.
Big game for T. Higgins.
What does that tell you?
Spite pick. I said sit him last week because he sucked 2 weeks ago. He was great this week.
Good job of throwing yourself on the fire there.
I don't know what to do with that. But my question to you, are the Cincinnati Bengals good?
No. Hold on.
Wait a minute. They're 7-4.
They're 2021 good.
All right.
They're good on offense. They're not very good on defense. Their coach is kind of on the rise.
What if I told you this?
Okay.
The Cincinnati Bengals have beaten the Steelers twice, the Ravens, the Raiders, and the Vikings.
Mm.
How's that? That's not bad.
No, it isn't.
Their losses are to the Bears, Jets, Browns, and Packers.
What? I mean,
I can't figure them out at all.
I can't either.
I cannot, but they might make the playoffs. They're 7-4.
Oh, they'll make the playoffs.
Remaining schedule, Niners, Broncos, Ravens, Chiefs, Browns.
Maybe not. Maybe they only win 9.
Those final 3 games are going to be pretty telling.
Very much so.
Another real toss-up game in the AFC. Let's go out to the West for Broncos and Chargers.
Hey, what happened?
Spreading out Denver. This time they put Eckler outside one more time to try and get some that. Middle of the field is wide open.
Is it?
Herbert. And picked off. Surtain up the sideline. Can he get there? Surtain to the end zone for the touchdown.
It's really Justin Bethel.
That was a That one, it's going to go down as an interception and a pick 6 against Justin Herbert, but it hit Austin Eckler in the hands.
It did.
Not a great throw. But how about the Broncos with a 28-13 win over the Chargers? Both of those teams are 6-5.
And the Broncos are the 9 seed right now in the AFC.
They're
in hailing distance.
They are.
There's something about that AFC West. Like, is that division closer to trash than good.
It is crazy. You look at the L.A. Chargers. So at one point in the year, we're 4-1.
Yep.
Then they lost to Baltimore. They lost to the Patriots. They beat Philly, lost to Minnesota, beat Pittsburgh, then lost to Denver.
What? I mean,
Dan Orlovsky on whatever ESPN show he's on this morning saying very concerned about Justin Herbert. He's not high on Justin Herbert
right now.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That whole AFC West is something.
Pretty crazy. Big NFC showdown between the Rams and Packers.
Second and goal. Rodgers. Dylan, touchdown, Packers.
Green Bay with a 36-28 win over the Rams. The Packers 9-3. The Rams fall to 7-4. But their new wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr., scored his first touchdown with the Rams. And here's what it sounded like in German. In German.
So, and Odell Beckham Jr. nimmt den mit. Gut, so geht's dann halt auch wieder.
Ja, der war jetzt auch nötig. Also, der war so weit offen, da kann man sagen, das muss doch fast ein Double Move gewesen sein, irgendwie ein Slant and Go oder sowas.
Double Move, Slant and Go, dude, that's all I got.
Baker Mayfield should pass it this year.
Now, pretty hilarious incident after the game.
Awesome.
Devontae Adams, of course, plays for the Packers and had recruited Odell Beckham Jr. to Green Bay. But Odell said, nope, going to the Rams, going to go play with the Rams. Odell, as we know firsthand here in New England when he tried to do it with Tom Brady, loves the jersey swap. So even though the Rams lost, he wanted to do a jersey swap with Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams told him, why don't you go swap with Cooper Kupp? Because that's who you wanted to roll with.
When
you're
in
the jersey.
Boom, great. Roasted.
I love it too.
That's big time stuff right there. Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers just give no Fs right now.
No, and good for them. The NFC is pretty fascinating. Between Brady, the Bucks still there. The Packers, he's like, you can't rule them out at all. They might be the best team in the NFC, but you also feel like they might lose a game in the playoffs with something stupid. So,
yeah.
Pretty fascinating. Last game we get to, the Sunday night football game, Ravens and Browns. What happened? This one was ugly.
Made the big play on this drive. Now 3rd and 10. Whole bunch of Browns coming after. Jackson trying to keep it alive. Put it up for grabs. And it's a touchdown! Andrews! Wow!
Just terrible offense for both teams. That's the lone Ravens touchdown in their 16-10 win over the Browns. So Baltimore, the top seed in the AFC, they are 8-3. The Browns fall to 6-6, and they couldn't get anything going on offense.
Browns are toast. They find a way to Browns it up all the time.
Might be.
Yeah, and again, that's why Baltimore might be the number one seed, but kind of what you saw last night.
Lamar
is
Jackson
threw
four picks.
Yeah, and when he's in a bad funk like that, the guy can't throw his way out of it.
Yep.
And I didn't know we had enough time for me to be able to make my Rams crack, which was, you know, when Green Bay was like stomping him. Might have been nice if the coach on the sideline would have been able to contribute to figuring out some defense to slow him down.
Okay.
Instead of sitting there talking to his quarterback and slamming like his giant Cheesecake Factory menu play calling sheet on his head because he couldn't find a way to stop anybody.
I understand. Yeah, it was a good day for you. Rams were bad. Who's the other team? Oh, the Ravens were bad. So
yeah, well, actually the Ravens won, but it was Lamar.
The game, but Lamar.
We know Lamar's the fatal flaw on that team. It's only a matter of time. Like right now, would you sign up to play them in an AFC title game?
Yeah, I like the Patriots in every matchup right now. I do.
There we go.
I'm taking the Chiefs.
Against God.
Yeah, sure. Pats.
Pats. There you go. There is your what happened as to what went on in the rest of the National Football League. Give us follows on Twitter at Gresh Keith, at Keith21, and at The Real Gresh, G-R-E-S-H. Bruins did beat the Canucks. They had quite a couple of days, including Canada against Marchand. That's next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights.
Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Anton Bleed on a solo rush. Scores! Marchand through his own skates. Pastrnak off the post. The rebound rolls back off Halak's pad. And then the shot muffled. Marchand, a stick handling move. Pastrnak scores. Back door. The Bruins win a game they had to win to climb within 1 point of Detroit in the Atlantic Division standing.
Linus with a win last night. Bruins beat the Canucks 3-2. Of course, the Bees on Wednesday beat Buffalo, who's kind of better, but not really.
Yeah, they got off to that hot start, but
yeah,
all right.
They're still Buffalo.
Right.
And then on Friday night, the Bruins lost to the Rangers. You get a little Thanksgiving hangover. But right now, I mean, the Celtics feel like they're stuck in neutral. With the Bruins, is the power play getting better?
Yeah, a couple more last night.
And then still evaluating goaltending.
It's still a sort of a back and forth with that. It's interesting how they've used them. You know, Swayman, going back a couple of weeks, got the back-to-back. It seems like Linus has gotten some of the better teams, though, so it's been confusing. And we ask Andrew Raycroft every Bruins Thursday. We ask him, like, what's going on there? And it's been a little confusing how they've rolled him out there. I don't think one has been much better than the other. And we've been waiting on Pastrnak to kind of break through and score more goals and be atop the league leaders and for that power play to get going. And so they get a couple of power play goals last night. You're like, all right, this could be start to turn things around. And it's also tough to look at the standings because the Bruins have had two basically weeks off during the year.
Yeah, very odd.
And so they've still played fewer games than everybody. So Toronto's in first place in the division. They've played five more games than the Bruins. So, like, you're trying to do math. You're like, all right, if they just win these two and tie this one, like, what will their record be? Now, they probably won't catch Toronto, but they're a point behind Detroit. They're, 5 points behind Tampa, but they've played fewer games than all of them. So they're kind of maintaining, you know, where you want to be.
Well, and there's the where will everyone be by Christmas? And hopefully the schedule will even out a little bit.
That's the new Thanksgiving, right?
That is the new Thanksgiving. That's right. According to our friend Andrew Raycroft, who will join us at 11:10 on Bruins Thursday.
Bees Thursday.
Here on WEEI. And we will see who our buddy Razor puts in the tickle trunk this week. Mm-hmm. I know he had the first line in the tickle
trunk. And
then
that night they came out and lit it up.
Two goals, right?
So that was good.
Two goals in the first period.
Right.
Game.
And he called it. He's like, I'm putting him in here knowing that they're going to be fine.
I mean,
and
he's turning into hockey's Perk.
Yes,
whatever
he
says, the Bruins are responding.
He's motivating these
guys. So we got to make sure that we take note of all of those.
Uh-huh.
Scott McLaughlin on WEEI.com has an article on Brad Marchand about, you know, Marshy will only be able to drag the Bruins so far. Now, there was – so, of course, you know, you're playing in Vancouver, you're in Canada. They look at the sport a little differently than we do,
They
Keith.
Do enjoy it very much.
I think the way we personally sort of get involved in the NFL is the way that the Canucks handle their love of hockey.
I think it's fair to say Canada to hockey, America to football, Europe to soccer, South America to soccer.
Well, Brad Marchand was asked a question after the game because apparently the Canadian media made it a little personal with Marchand. There was one broadcaster even went as far as to say, I hate this guy.
Hates him.
Hate.
So
that's a strong word.
You're a dirty player, eh? Hey, a dirty player, eh?
Well, some Canuck.
Boom, roasted.
Smoked him.
Some Canuck asked Marshy a question after the game about playing in Canada. It's an interesting response.
You know, I think the big thing in Canada is that just they're very, very passionate about the game. You know, that is definitely, and not just, you know, just their fans. Hockey's a way of life in Canada. It's a way it is. As soon as you can walk, you're putting skates on, and the lakes are always frozen in Canada, so there's always ice available and ponds and stuff like that. So it's a way of life. There's a lot of passionate fans for their teams, you know, and I think that just kind of bleeds over into it. I mean, there's a lot of cases when teams don't do well in Canada that you know, it's hard on players, that their families get picked on, the kids get picked on at school. So, you know, the fans can be a big part of why teams don't have success because they make it miserable on the players at times, and they definitely push guys away to go to teams that don't have that kind of fan base. So sometimes the fans out there need to look themselves in the mirror as well.
Good. Burns across the board.
Pretty good.
Well, I'd say if you can't stand the heat, get out of the farmhouse is what I would say. you're a professional athlete. You're making millions of dollars. Oh, they're mean to me on Twitter. Deal with it. But I'm also not going to criticize Marshawn for taking a shot at all Canadians. Like, why not?
Anson Carter had tweeted off of this. Watching the Bruins game, I heard the Canucks game analyst say he hated Brad Marchand, and Canadian hockey fans wonder why NHL players don't want to play in Canada. It's because it's not just about the game. It's always personal with some of the media coverage there. And that's a guy who is now on TNT, Anson Carter, who we've talked to, part of the new Turner coverage, who is pointing the finger at other analysts. But
yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, I'm sure there are tough places, though, in all sports, right? There's certain markets that the fan base is going to be a little bit more fired up. Like if you play for the the Knicks compared to the Oklahoma City Thunder, I'm sure the reaction to you is going to be a little bit different and how people view you and what they say online and everything else. Flip side of that, though, is if you're the best player on Toronto or Montreal or Ottawa and you win the cup.
Oh, you threw the win the cup in there.
Flip side of it.
Gotcha. If you win the cup,
you're the greatest thing of all time. You are a god.
Because the stupid Canadiens organization ran PK Subban out of town because he didn't include them in a $10 million donation to a hospital. I mean, really. Like, that was, and they'll be like, wow, it wasn't because of that. Oh, it was because of that. It was exactly because of that. Mm-hmm. That's how petty those Canucks up there in Canada are about the game of hockey, which, by the way, we love. And I always thought that we were the meanest fan base. Nope. So it's good to know
all of Canada,
jerks, the nicest jerks going, except mm-hmm. the McKenzie brothers who peed out of fire in the movie Strange Brew, among the five that I've seen over the course of my lifetime.
That's good fun.
Yeah, it is. Good pull there. There you go. Rick Moranis. I think mm-hmm. he just passed away, didn't he? He was in that movie.
Rick Moranis is alive.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he...
No, he got beat up last year in New York City.
Wasn't there one of those Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Isn't he just in a Ryan Reynolds commercial, too?
All right, maybe so.
Yeah, he was, but he was not, sadly, in the new Ghostbusters
movie. You know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of that Peter Scolari guy. Looks a little like him. He was in the show with Balky, I think, on TV.
Perfect Strangers?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, I might be wrong on that, too. Right. Who the hell knows?
Hopefully anyway, he's all right.
We'll go to the top of the hour. Everybody will tell me I'm wrong at 37937.
He's dead.
And he is dead.
Scolari confirmed dead.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not dead is this show yet. An hour to go. I got some storylines from the NFL that I will want to run by Keefe. That's next.
And speaking of dreams come true, did you see Rick Moranis got sucker punched on the Upper West Side? New York is back, baby!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.